This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. I'm Ebong Udama. Connecticut towing companies frequently value cars low to sell them quickly and rip off owners.
For vehicles listed at $1,500 or less, first the process is faster. So after 15 days, they can begin the process requesting permission to sell the vehicle. Secondly, they can sell it in a private sale versus a public auction.
That's Ginny Monk, the Connecticut Mirror's housing reporter. She and fellow Connecticut Mirror reporter Dave Altamari, in collaboration with ProPublica, have done data analysis that finds Connecticut towing companies have a pattern of valuing cars low, even if they're luxury vehicles. More to come after this.
Whether you order a grinder or a hero for lunch, spend summers on the Sound or on Jones Beach, and I'm not even going near the pizza debate, there's something for nutmeggers and Long Islanders alike on the WSHU podcast, After All Things. Get the news and culture from around the Long Island Sound in less than 15 minutes. Hosted by me, Sabrina Garone. Weeknights wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Ginny. You and your colleague, Dave Altamari, in collaboration with ProPublica, have been investigating Connecticut's car towing business for a while now. As a matter of fact, your initial reporting prompted state lawmakers to pass a new law that took effect in October. And now this follow-up data analysis of more than 6,000 forms submitted to the DMV by towing companies, it's quite fascinating. What made you decide to do this?
So when we started this investigation, we had requested all of these forms, not really knowing how many we'd get or what quality they would be, how easy it might be to analyze them. And as we started asking the DMV more questions about the forms, we began to realize that they had not done a wholesale analysis of this data. So we set out to do that. We hand cleaned a lot of these forms and eventually created a database that resulted in the story that you saw on Sunday.
You know, it's quite fascinating. There's Rudine Harvey. She had a very expensive Range Rover that was towed and valued at less than $1,500. How did that come about?
That's a great question. So Rudine had this vehicle that, as you mentioned, she paid a lot of money for. It did need some engine repairs, which is what the towing company attributed it to. They, I believe, valued it at $1,475 after the tow happened.
This was a car she bought 12 years before for about $135,000, right?
That's right. And it was, I think, one of those sales experiences that I have never personally had, but for her, it was really meaningful. They popped champagne when she bought it. The car was in a glass case. It was a really nice vehicle.
Okay. Now, so what happened to the vehicle and how did it end up being towed?
So the vehicle, she had taken it to a repair shop because, as I mentioned, it needed engine repairs. The shop, while the vehicle was there, the shop closed down. And it's not immediately clear to us how it wound up being towed to a public street. That's where it was. And from there, it had been towed to by this tow company, who eventually valued it at $1,475.
However, she was able to stop it before it was sold.
She was able to stop it before it was sold. She got her car back. But the form that the tow company submitted asking permission to sell her car, as I mentioned a couple times, it was at $1,475, which is just under the $1,500 mark for quicker and private sales.
Okay, so basically the reason why it was valued below $1,500 is that if it's below $1,500, you can quickly sell a car.
Right, that's how the system at the time in Connecticut worked. And, you know, again, the tower does say it's because of the engine repairs that we valued it so low.
But you found a pattern here. There was one company that had more than 90% that were valued below $1,500. How did they explain that?
So a lot of them didn't respond to our request for comment. And some said, look, all the cars we tow are junk. But we, in addition to the kind of big broad analysis we did of all of the forms, we narrowed it down to a few brands of luxury cars and found that those were also being valued far below their retail value, even those that we couldn't find had been in any accidents.
And you found towers altogether sought permission for 150 luxury cars for less than a third of what they were valued and had no accidents.
That's right. For us, that was significant. A lot of tows do happen after accidents, right? You see an accident on the highway, those cars need to be cleared. And that's kind of what towers have been claiming. These cars are junk, they've been in accidents, they're abandoned. But we couldn't find evidence of that for 150 luxury vehicles.
Now, what advantage does a tow company have by listing it as less than $1,500? Yeah, how do they make money from that?
So for vehicles listed at $1,500 or less, first the process is faster. So after 15 days, they can begin the process requesting permission to sell the vehicle. Secondly, they can sell it in a private sale versus a public auction. So for these lower value vehicles, you can sell it to anyone you want.
But after they've sold the cars, the profits that they make from selling these cars aren't, isn't that money supposed to go back to the owners after they've taken away their tow charges?
It is supposed to go back to the owners after they've taken away the tow charges, or in the event they can't locate the owner or the owner doesn't come forward to claim those profits, the money is supposed to go to the state. In previous reporting, the state told us that that has never happened, that money has never been
That's
remitted to
after a
the
year. They
state.
hold on to the money for a year before it goes to the state, right?
Right.
And that has never happened.
Right.
Wow. What is DMV saying when you ask the DMV about the situation? What's their response?
The DMV says that they examine all the forms, and if they note that the values are very different between the retail value and what the tower put, they'll send it back to the tower to check it again, resubmit the form. They've kind of admitted that this is, I think the quote was, it's not a good system, and it really relies on judgment calls on the part of DMV employees. They also have said if someone submits a form incorrectly and says, I want permission to sell this after 15 days, and that's not supposed to happen based on the value, that they'll hold on to the form for a while and then give it back to the tower approved.
Do other states do it the same way?
No. Other states, it's a really a wide variety. So some states rely on police to value vehicles. Oregon requires a certified appraiser to value vehicles. I believe Florida goes by how old the vehicle is versus the value. So there are really a lot of different ways that states handle this.
So, Ginny, does it seem as if Connecticut is going to do anything different going forward? You were at the first meeting of the panel that's been put together to oversee this last month.
So like you mentioned, the legislation that passed during the last session and went into effect in October established a working group through the DMV that's kind of talking through a lot of these issues, and they're supposed to present a report to lawmakers in February. They're actually meeting today, so you'll see what comes of that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jenny.
Thank you.
Long Story Short is hosted by me, Ebong Udama, and produced by Molly Ingram. Harriet Jones is our editor, WSHU's Alicia Daddario, and the Connecticut Mirror's Gabby DeBenedictis are our digital team. This podcast is a collaboration between the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. We go behind the scenes at the home of public policy journalism in Connecticut. More can be found online at ctmirror.org and wshu.org. Our episodes can be found wherever you get your podcasts.